standing as we read our text together tonight, and then we'll bring the message I feel like the Lord would have me to preach to your hearing this night. I'm going to ask you to turn in the book of Daniel, if you would with me, please, the book of Daniel and chapter number 1. And I know when I say chapter number 1, some of these young people in here are going to faint. In fact, one of them already told me, said, if you call my name, I'll pass out. And I want to preach out of this chapter a little while tonight, God being my helper. I know it's familiar to most of us. It should be anyway. And if you've been a Baptist at any length of time, and you're not real old, I'm sure you've had this preached to you over and over and over again. But repetition's good for us. It's the way we learn. And this will be good for us. Daniel chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1. It said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with a part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and to the king's seed, and to the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael, of Meshach, and of Azariah, of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now that's all further I'm going to read tonight. I don't think I need to go any further than that. To bring the thought that is on my heart and do my best to preach, I think, what God wants me to preach to you tonight, okay? Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day that we've had together in the Lord's house and for the singing, the fellowship, the prayer time. Lord, we thank you for thy word that is before us. Lord, it's been a lamp under my feet these many years, been a light under my path, and I thank you for it. It's corrected me and comforted me. I thank you for that. It's blessed me and helped me. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching it. And I pray that you'll touch tonight every soul that's here and under the sound of my voice, that you'd give the grace that is needed, that sinners to be saved, and God's people to find, Lord, the help that we need in these last days. And I do believe it is the last days. And I'd ask you, Father, to bless the sick, those that we called out in the announcements tonight that have bodily afflictions. I pray for them, that you'd bless them and help them. I pray for those that are away from us tonight, those that are traveling, others that are away. I pray for them, that you'd give them the divine help that they need in their life. Bless our country. Help our president to make right decisions, Lord. Help our congressional men and women and those in the Senate and the state and so forth to make decisions, Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name. Those of them that are lost, I pray for them, that they'd be saved. You've commanded us to pray in this manner. And so I ask you to be merciful to America. Give us the grace that only God can and the victory that only God can provide. Bless now, Lord, as we go through this tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible said in Daniel verse number 8, the Bible said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, I want to preach a little while out of this tonight. I want to preach to all of us, and I trust everybody will get something from it. But I primarily want to look at this tonight and preach to our young people. Brother Gray made a statement last night that stayed with me. He said, we looked at a couple of the children, and he looked at me and said, Preacher, there is tomorrow's church. And I had to agree with him. The children that are sitting on the pews of our churches will be God's adults tomorrow. And it is our responsibility to see to it that they get the best biblical education that they possibly can, and that they're raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so I want to preach a little while about them tonight. And, you know, I'm preaching just sort of on taking a stand for the Lord. You know, I believe these four young men proved to us that you not only can stand, but they did stand. And against great opposition they stood. Against a king of a foreign country. And against the wiles of the devil they stood. And God used them later on down in their life for His honor. And I want to say to you young people, you never know what God is going to do with you in your life. As a little boy growing up in southern Indiana, I never dreamed that God would ever save me. And much less call me to preach the gospel. But He's done both, and I'm thankful for it. I'm unworthy of it. But I'm grateful that He did that. But I had no earthly idea that God would do that. As growing up, I had very little biblical training and in my life. And some of you have been blessed to be brought up in a Christian family, in a Christian home. Even since you were little infants, God's brought you up. You were born in a Christian family, lived in a Christian family. And God's given you the opportunity to listen to a mom and a daddy, and come to the house of God and get in your heart what you need in your life to take a real stand for the glory and honor of God. You know, and it's a fact, we're losing our young people by growth today. If you look out in the world around you, you'd have to come to the conclusion that Brother Hall has, that there's not many, and I'll say teenagers, that are really appear to me to be serving God. And even in our Baptist churches, it doesn't appear that there's many young people that are really serving God. And there's even less than that. It seems like they have a desire to serve the Lord. And, you know, there ought to be at least a desire in your heart, and us adults as well, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you, there's no greater blessing afforded unto man than to be a servant of the Lord. David said he'd rather be a servant of the Lord than he would to be a king of a vast domain. That's what it said in, I think, Psalm 18 in the heading of that chapter. And how true that is. And there's nothing any greater and any more precious than being a servant of the Lord and taking a stand for Him. Now, I'm sure that you're familiar with this story. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians they besieged the city of Judah. And for several years, they fought against that city. And eventually, it was overtaken. And the people were taken into what we call the Babylonian captivity. And amongst those that were taken were these four young men that I mentioned to you tonight. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. were taken into captivity. And the command was given that the princes and the king's seed and the godly young people were to be brought to the prince of the eunuchs, and he was to raise them up in all the wisdom and the learning of the Chaldeans. And you know, I never noticed this until just now when I read it, and I should have noticed it. I've read this dozens and dozens of times. But it talks about here that they were to in chapter verse number 4, it the king give command to pick up, get these children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and had such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. You need to understand that these young people that we're talking about were not idiots. And they certainly was not spiritual fools. I mean, and they had some kind of finesse about them. I mean, they had the ability to stand in the king's palace. So the change that Nebuchadnezzar is really looking to make in their life is not necessarily one of educating them. They're already educated. But what he wants to do is educate them in the way of the Babylonians. He wants to change them completely from their upbringing as a child of God in Israel to serving a pagan king in the land of Babylon. Right. And it wasn't that they weren't already wise and skillful in learning and science. They already were. But Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to have knowledge of Babylon and the Babylonish ways. And it was given into the hand of this eunuch, the master of the eunuchs, to raise them up that they might learn the ways, that after 3 years that they might stand in front of the king and work in the palace there in front of that king. And but you know, but in order to do that, they were given a portion of the king's meat, a daily portion. They were given a portion of the king's wine daily. But the Bible said that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. In other words, he just made a resolve in his heart, I'm not going to follow the leadership of this pagan king. I am a child of the Most High, and I'm going to continue to live for the God of glory. And you know, that ought to be the mindset of every person here tonight, much less these younger people that have never grown and had the opportunity to do much in the service of God. It certainly ought to be a resolve in your heart to grow up and serve the Lord with all readiness of mind, and to walk in God's ways and be obedient to the Word of God. Daniel said, hey, said, I have made this. I'm not going. I've purposed in my heart that I will not defile myself. Now, if you look on over later in Daniel's life, you'll find that this thing must have worked somewhat to some degree, because in chapter 6, they make a great image, and all the people of the land are commanded to bow down to that image. And the three Hebrews, they don't bow down. Those boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow down to that image. And they're thrown into, they have a choice, either renounce God or to be thrown into a furnace of fire. And you know the story. They did not renounce God. They chose to be thrown into a furnace of fire rather than to renounce the God that had saved them. And I thought that was quite marvelous. You know, I've been keeping up with a Christian, the Iranian man that came to America and was converted, became a Christian, and went back to visit his relatives, and they picked him up and put him in prison for being a Christian. And they told him the other day, they said, you don't really have to renounce the fact that you're a Christian, All we want you to do is admit to the fact that Allah was a great prophet. And he said, I'm not going to do that either. And he took a stand. Facing death, he took a stand that he was going to be a Christian. And I wonder tonight, not only these young people, but how many of us adults could honestly say within our heart, if it came down to the point of us losing our lives or taking a stand for God, would we take the stand and lose our life? Or would we capitulate and raise up the white towel of surrender and go on and serve the God of this world? Well, these three Hebrews said, we're not going to here, and they didn't. They said, we're not going to later on, and they didn't. Even Daniel later on, the king built a great statue, a large statue that really represented the Antichrist, or the four kingdoms of the world, the Antichrist in the latter day. And they were supposed to not worship any other god than Nebuchadnezzar for a certain amount of time. But the Bible said that little old Daniel went to his room every day, bowed down at the window, and prayed to the God of heaven every day. And you know what happened? Of course, those princes and presidents went and lied about him, and the king called him in on the carpet. And he said, did you do this? Yes, I've done this. Well, I put out a decree and said, you're going into the den of lions. Oh, by the way, folks, it was not a lion's den. It was a den of lions. There were lions in that den. And Daniel was put into that den of lions. He would rather be cast to the den of lions and take the chance on being eaten alive by those lions than recant the God that loved him and saved him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There was another king. There was a king of beasts down in there that night, no doubt. But there was another king down in there also. There was a king of kings down in that den also. Now, I'm going to tell you, he caused those lions to lay down like a little pussycat at the feet of Daniel and just lay there without any harm coming to Daniel. Now, I want to say something to you young kids. Some of you worry about the problem that is going to trouble you if you try to live for God. Turn your back on the world and turn your back on sin and turn your back on the devil and serve God. You're concerned about peer pressure and you're concerned about how you're going to be treated and mistreated by someone, possibly even the devil. I want to say to you that God is much more powerful than any enemy or foe that you may ever encounter in your life. I'll guarantee you one thing, that there is a God in heaven that is watching over you tonight, that cares for you and will, hey, if you'll stand for Him, He'll stand for you. If you'll stand with Him, He'll stand with you. But if you run from Him, He'll turn His back on you as sure as the world. Amen. And so these young men, they took that stand. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to be taught in the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, and wanted them to be taught in their ways. And you know, and I believe that is exactly what the devil would like to do to you and I today, and especially our young people. Now, he'd like nothing better than to destroy our Christian heritage. God wants to destroy, and I'm going to tell you what, it's taking place in America. Amen. Now, you can get mad at me or get glad. It don't make any difference. I'm all in for freedom of speech. But I'm telling you that freedom of speech is getting a lot of Americans in a whole lot of trouble. Amen. You better believe it is. You better believe it is. Because we mentioned something about our God, and brother, they want to call us in on the red carpet. And I'm telling you, this infidel crowd can talk about their God all they want to, and there's not one word ever said about it. Right. You can talk about Mormonism, and you can talk about Catholicism, and you can talk about all these other religions that you want to talk about, and nobody ever says a thing about it. Muslims, you can talk about Muslims all, hey, and I say they'll get all tore up about that, but you say one word about Christianity, buddy, and they're ready to cut your head off. Hey, you better believe they are. Amen. Amen. They don't like Christians. Amen. They don't like Christians. And I believe that the devil wants to destroy our Christian heritage. And it's happening right here in America. Brother, you mention Jesus and see what happens to you. That's my heritage.
Amen.
We have a heritage in the Lord. And by the way, we have a heritage in Israel. And there's countries in this world that are like nothing better than to see them annihilated like that idiot said in Iran. It's got such a long name, I don't know how to announce that word. They really don't care whether I do announce it or not. That's right. And they like to annihilate, but we've got a heritage in Israel. We've got a heritage in our religion. In Christianity, it goes back a long way. And I'm going to say this. Bless some of your little pea-picking hearts. We've got a Baptist heritage.
Amen.
That we ought to want to live up to as well. That's right. Thank God. I'm glad tonight that I am a Baptist and I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
You can go to pray and you can say you can pray in anybody's name, but don't pray in Jesus' name. And I'm going to tell you, we as God's people have got a heritage.
Amen.
To live up to. That's right. And the devil is trying to destroy that. Trying to destroy that heritage. He's trying to tear down our spiritual values. He's trying to rob us of our Christian blessings in our life. And I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, I've been standing for a while. By His grace, I intend to keep on standing.
Amen.
Amen. Even against the possibility of losing my head, I hope I've got enough grace to stand as strong as these four young men did for the Lord. Amen. Even possibly losing my head, I hope I can take the stand that they did. I want to say to you young people tonight, brother, you better take a stand. There's some out there, there's peer pressure out there tonight. There's young folks out there tonight that they'll make fun of you. They'll call you an old fogey if you sang Christian music.
Right.
If you don't fall in with their crowd and watch their filth on television and listen to their filth on the radio and talk their filthy talk and listen to their filthy joke, you don't fit in with their crowd and they want to excommunicate you right quick. And I'm telling you, if you take a stand for Christ in this, Christ will take a stand for you in this.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to follow that crowd. These four young men didn't follow their crowd, did they? That's right. And they came out winners, friend. They came out winners. You better believe they did. Now, I want to determine in my heart that although I'm in this world, that I'm not going to serve the world, but I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart and all my mind, body and soul. And I hope you young people will as well. Now, the devil's got his way in doing things. And if you don't think that he is not a conniver, man, I'm telling you, Satan is slick. If you think Slick Willie was slick, son, Teflon Willie ain't got nothing on the devil. He's crafty. He's smooth. He's got a velvet tongue. He knows how to twist things around and make them sound real good to you. And the bottom line, they're not good, they're bad.
Amen.
He knows how to make the bad look good and the good look bad.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? That's right. And I'm going to tell you, hey, what he wants to do, he wants to turn your heart away from God. He wants to, and he can do it by muscle or by deceit. It don't make any difference to him. He's got enough power that he can. And He's certainly deceitful. And if, with Him being deceitful, and our heart is as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, I'm telling you, we've got double trouble tonight. And especially you younger folk that are never, you don't have any scars on you yet from the battles you fought. I'm telling you, you better learn to stand. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some wounds. And anytime there's a wound, there's going to be a scar. And I'm going to tell you something. God is able to hold you up. If you'll lean on Him, God wants you to serve Him and not cave in to the devil and to the prince of this world, to the sin that's in this world, to the filth that's in. Who said you had to drink liquor?
Right.
Who said you have to suck on a cigarette?
Right.
Who said you had to get this? Who said you had to watch television? Who said you had to listen to rock music? Who said you had to listen to country music? I don't recall reading anywhere in the Bible where you do. And I'm going to tell you what. The devil, what he wants to do, he wants to turn your heart away from the Lord. The devil knows he can never turn God's heart from you. Friend, it is an absolute fact. Boy, and I'm telling you, I'm anxious to play that tape by Brother Qualls. It's an absolute fact that God made you and I exactly how we are.
Amen.
And He loves us just exactly how we are.
Amen.
He doesn't look on us and see who's the best looking and love them. Or He doesn't look at young ladies that may have a more shapelier body than another girl and love them any more, or a man that's more muscular than somebody else and love him more than he does another man. He doesn't look on that. Hey, He doesn't look on the outward man. He looks on the heart. And looking on the heart, He found a little ruddy-faced boy named David as a man after God's own heart. That's right. God loves you just exactly like you are. You better believe He does. Now the devil knows that he's not going to change God's love for you. But I'm going to tell you what he'll do. He'll work on you every way he can to make turn your heart cold. He'll want to try to make church boring. He'll tell you that it is. What's the sense of going? What are you getting out of it? I'd rather stay home. Yeah, I know you would, because there's something on television you'd like to watch. Or a ball game you'd like to go to. Thank you. Most of them wear blue. Some of them wear blue. Folks like to go see them. Amen. I'm talking about the Pussycats.
Amen.
God wants to turn your heart cold. And turn, or the devil does, and turn you away from God. And he'll do everything that he can to do that. They were down in the land of Babylon. They had been run out of their own country. They were raised in Jerusalem. I wonder how they felt down in that strange land. Where they were at, everything was strange to them. But like Jerusalem. People talked with a language they didn't understand. They built buildings in a different manner. People looked different. They dressed different. They talked different. They were different. Everything about them was different. And what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do was turn these boys so they would look, talk, and act exactly like the crowd did down in Babylon. Rather than what they talked and looked and acted like up in the land of Judah.
That's right,
man. I know that's right. And they carried them down there and they set them down and said, by the rivers of Babylon, said, hey, why don't you sing us a song? The Bible said they sat down by that river and they wept. I want to ask you something. When was the last time you wept? When was the last time you wept over our church and the direction it's going in?
Amen.
When was the last time that you wept, mommy, daddy, knowing in your heart that you've got a child, that they may be living under your roof, but in their heart, they're in Babylon. They're not in Jerusalem. They're in Babylon in their heart. They'd rather be down there. And by the way, don't think it won't rub off. When they brought them back out of the captivity, some of them's roots were so deep in Babylon, they refused to go back to Jerusalem. They stayed down there. You get your roots so deep in the world, I guarantee you won't want out of this world. You'll think it's the greatest thing since apple pie and ice cream, but I'm going to tell you, in the end, friend, there is death in the pot. Yeah, man, you better be careful what pot you're eating out of. There's sin in the pot. There's death in that pot.
Amen.
You better believe there is. And they sat down by the rivers of Babylon and they wept when they remembered Zion. I wonder if we've sat down and wept. You and I, when we remember how it used to be. When church used to be a place that bubbled with joy and happiness and gladness of heart. And Christ moved in such a way that everyone in the service, lost people alike, knew that He was here and had been here. When was the last time we wept over the fact that He's gone? May I say to you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, it is not that He is leaving America, He has left America.
Amen.
It is not that He is leaving our churches, He has left our churches.
That's right.
And we can't seem to weep over it.
Amen.
They sat down by the rivers of Babylon and wept. And then that crowd mocked them and said, come on, sing us a song. Surely you can sing a song. Down here in Babylon. Surely this is. And if I was to them that wasted them, destroyed them, pulled them down to nothing, wasted them, they'd be required of them mirth. Where's your happiness at now? Where's your joy at now? Oh, 96, you were flying high! But what happened to it? Where's that spirit you had then? Where's that joy you had then? Where's that hope you had then? Where's that life you had then? Where's that victory you had then? Where is that life that you saw your children get up on Sunday morning and say, Mommy, Daddy, I sure am glad today is Sunday. We get up today and say, well, we have to go to church today. Hey, y'all don't mean we have to go. It ought to be, praise God, we get to go.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm glad we get to go.
Amen.
You might get to the point someday where you're old and feeble and wish you could and can't.
Right.
Say amen right there. That's
amen.
Right. I'm telling you the truth. You might wish you could and can't.
Amen.
How many of y'all in here remember, what was her name, Brenda? That passed away. The older lady, Mrs., you just told me about it yesterday. The older lady used to listen to this station, a Pentecostal woman that passed away. Mrs. Helen Winchester, 103 years old, just passed away the other day. And I suppose if she was in her right mind and was able, I know she was still listening to this station when she passed away. She used to listen, 103 years old. And I don't know how long she had been serving God. But a long time. A long time. Mama Welch, I used to visit her down there in Nortonville. And she'd say, right down this road there, preacher. Just a young girl, I think of 9 years old, under an old gospel tent. Said a man of God preached the gospel to me and said, I've been saved ever since. She'd lift that little bony hand up in the air and say, and I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I wouldn't say nothing from a journey. I'm going to say, I ain't been saved near as long as she has, or Miss Winchester was, but I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, I found out the world hasn't got a thing out there for me but heartache and sorrow and grief. Oh, yes. But God's got joy and happiness and blessing. Oh, yes. And a home and a place reserved all over on the other side in glory for you and I. It's reserved. It's reserved there. Praise God. That's how I've got my reservations in. Amen. And they said, why don't you sing us one of the songs of Zion? And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? Now, they just asked how we're going to do it. Didn't say they didn't. Somebody told me this morning I was a little evangelistic. Some guy said, another guy said, I may have been, but it don't say that they didn't sing.
That's right.
I got a funny feeling Daniel's song. Now, I don't know what he did. But I think he may have. You know why? Are you listening to me? I'm a country boy.
Amen.
And friend, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy.
Amen.
And these four boys were, hey, they were godly young men. And they took them out of their country, but they couldn't take God out of their heart.
Amen.
Better believe it. Now, they might have sang and they might not. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, so I'm not going to say. I'll just leave it at that. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe the life they lived proved. I believe the life they lived proved.
Yes, sir.
That they had something that some of the others did not have.
That's right.
And you know, the devil doesn't want our young people associating with God in any way. The devil wants to cut off, young people, all your ties with God. Some young people can't wait till they're 18 just to get gone from the house. You think, oh, if I can just get out from under this rule and this reign, I'll have her made. You're foolish in thinking that.
Amen.
Best life you'll ever live is at home with your mom and daddy.
Amen.
Outside the Lord, there ain't nobody loves you anymore. Your mom and daddy loves you.
Yep.
There ain't nobody that'll do more for you than what your mom and daddy will do for you. I'll assure you of that. But the devil, he wants to turn you away from God. And he wants to do it by cutting every remembrance that you have off from God. And look here. He keeps you out of the land of Zion for a long time. Little by little by little by little. He'll cut you off. They even changed these boys' names trying to cut them off. They changed Daniel, God is my judge, to Belshazzar, Bel's prince. Bel was their god, Baal. That was their god. Hananiah was changed from beloved of the Lord to Shadrach, illumined by the sun god. Wonder how that made him feel. You're not, Jehovah's not your god. The sun god's your god. Jehovah's not your god. Baal is your god. And then what about poor little Azariah? The Lord is my help to Abednego, the servant of Nego. I'm telling you, folks, they done everything they could to numb them to the fact that they were God's people. And I'm telling you, the devil is doing the same thing today all across the length and the breadth of our land. And we're letting people get by with it. I don't understand it. I don't believe in this marching and protesting and all that stuff. But some of you people, some of you in here, and you can nod your head up and down and don't make it, but some of you in here, when I get ready to say something like I'm going to say right now, some of you in here get madder than a wet hornet. But I'm telling you, that outfit that calls himself a church out in, where is it, Kansas? Huh? Is it Kansas? What's the name of it?
Westbrook.
Do you know what those idiots want to do, Brother Troy? They call themselves an independent Baptist church. But I'm going to tell you what they want to do. They have come out and said that tornado come through Shawnee over in Harrisburg and threw the land Friday and killed all those people because of the sin that was in that city. I'm going to tell you, friend, how naive and ignorant can people get. If you will read the Lord what He said about those at the pool, at the Tire of Siloam fell on. Were they any more sinners than everybody? He said, no, I tell you, there wasn't a bit of sinner. He said, in fact, all of you are sinners.
Amen.
And He said, and except all of you repent, you'll likewise perish.
Amen.
But that crowd's got the idea, friend, that God's taking His spite out on a few people because of the sin that Adam plunged us into. And I'm telling you, there's just one thing wrong with that. That is a false, blatant, out and outright lie. The judgment of God may be on our country, but I'm telling you, God does not kill a few people just because a nation has went to pot.
That's right.
They're ignorant. And I can't hold up a plaque, but I can certainly get on here and preach against it.
Amen.
They don't want to come down here holding up their plaques.
Right.
Now, you don't have to do anything about it. I wouldn't invite you to. But the plaque holding days around here is done, friend.
Amen.
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 That's right. Try to tell me that God's judgment is on me because I pay taxes. There's people around here that think that this church, because we're incorporated, pays taxes. The church. They told me that. How ignorant can people get?
Amen.
They got a real problem.
Right.
The workers here, I pay taxes. But the church pays no taxes because we're incorporated. Are you listening to me? God help us. You know, and they want to tear down your spiritual graces. They don't want you to have any spiritual graces. The devil don't. Or it's going to help you. And this he accomplishes this by occupying your time with His affairs and robbing you of the time you need to be with God. That's what He did to these young men. They had to spend their time grooming themselves to stand before the King. They had to spend their time grooming themselves and preparing themselves and learning the ways of the Chaldeans to stand before the King. And it deprived them of the time they needed to stay with God and to learn the ways of the Lord. Now I'm telling you, young people, hey, the devil will do you the same way and me the same way. If he can get you out of your Bible, get you hooked on an MP3 player hanging out of your ear all the time.
Amen.
And mom and daddy, if you give them an MP3 and don't know what's on it, you are dumber than a box of 10 rocks.
Amen.
Or 10 boxes of rocks. You better know what's on it.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You don't think that won't indoctrinate them?
Yeah.
Amen.
Kids started talking about this little girl that was, I don't even know the singer's name now. She's a daughter to one of these country and western singers, and they was calling her Hannah Montana or Montana Hannah or something like that. I didn't even know who they were talking about. And I wondered, where are they getting that from? I found out later by that thing hanging out of their ear.
Amen.
God help us. Now I'm just telling you, boy, the devil indoctrinate you young people. And it's not easy. You get up 17, 18 years old. I've got a grandson that's in the military, and I love him. I told him the other day, I said, boy, you better straighten your hide up.
Amen.
If you think God's pleased with you the way you're living, I said, you're wrong. You're wrong, son. And I know we're on the air, and I have no idea who's listening, and I don't really care who's listening. But I told him, I said, if you really think a lot about that little girl down there, I said, one thing you better do is show that girl's daddy, that pastor down there, that you mean real business with God. That you're ready to turn your back on sin, Satan, and the world and live for God. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be done overnight. But one thing I did learn today, and I never seen this before, Brother Joel, in my life until this afternoon over at the house. But how long did Daniel said he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. How many days did he give that king? Or that eunuch? Gave him 10 days, didn't he?
Yeah.
Said after 10 days, said come back and take a look at us. And see how we look. And compare us with them.
Yeah,
I said 10 days. And I never thought it before. I thought, you'd be amazed what God can do in 10 days.
Yes.
Just 10 little days, friends, all it took. God can make a difference in 10 days in somebody's life. In fact, God can make a difference in 10 seconds in somebody's life. In fact, God can make a difference in 1/10 of a second in somebody's life. It doesn't take a long time for God just to wipe the slate clean and start you all over again, friend. 10 days, not long. Old Daniel said, you give us 10 days and then come back and take a look at us. They wanted Daniel and them three other boys to look like. I had a fellow to call me yesterday. Said he was going to see his grandson. He said he's a pretty good boy. Said he's only one problem. Said he wears his britches hanging down around his hind end. And you know, you see them all the time. They walk around like this. I wouldn't hire one of them on a job. If I hired a man, I hired him to work with two hands if he's got two hands. If he doesn't have but one, I hired him to work with the one hand he's got. But if he's got two hands, I didn't hire him to walk around and hold up his britches with one and work with the other one. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Now I know where this is not very exciting, but I'm telling you, we've got kids in here that are going to grow up with that mentality that they have got to look and act and dress like that crowd out there. And if they don't, they're a disgrace to themselves. They shame themselves. You know what I'd tell that crowd to do? I'd tell them, friend, I'm going to live for Jesus. And the best thing you can do is live for Him too. And if they didn't want to, I'd go my way and let them go their way.
Amen.
Now the old king, he gave him a worldly diet and gave him a daily portion to live by. He said, you'll drink my wine, you'll eat my food. They were actually eating the devil's food. Maybe devil's food cake.
Amen.
We ought to change that to angel food cake. I'm telling you, devil's food cake, God help us.
Amen.
That's right, angel food cake. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Is it angel's food cake?
That's right.
Man. I've seen devil's food cake. When I was a boy. And some of y'all don't believe that, do you? See, you stand in doubt already. Come on in the house. He wanted to change their appearance. He wanted to change their authority. Now get this. He said, I want you to stand before, we're going to fix you up so you can stand before the king of Babylon. You're not going to stand before the king of Israel no more. Your authority has been changed. You're no longer under the authority of God. You're under the authority of me. And you'll do what I got to say. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was saying.
Amen.
That's why I wanted to stand in there. Under his authority. Amen.
Amen.
He wanted to change their acquaintances. He cut them all off from their brethren back home. You know, he wanted to bestow them with some great honor. He wanted to put them in the king's court. Give them an honorable position. Moses had an honorable position. He could have been king of all Egypt. But the Bible said that he chose rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's right. They could have had a very honorable position standing in the king's court. And you know, the amazing thing, here's the amazing thing about it. When they took a stand for God, you've heard the saying, they wound up getting their apple pie and their ice cream on top of it. Because they didn't have to eat the king's food, but they still wound up in the king's palace. In fact, old Daniel wound up king out of all of them. He took a stand and refused to be defiled with the king's meat, and yet God put him in the palace. And as one king learned that Daniel knew about dreams and one thing and another, and this woman said, his wife said, there's a guy up here with these Jews, said he knows all about dreams and things. He said, go up there and get it. And that old king, Belteshazzar, he said, hey, said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll give you anything you want if you'll just tell me about this dream. Daniel said, keep it. I don't want your mess.
That's right.
But he said, I'll still tell you about your dream. He said, you keep your gifts. I don't want them. Did it tell him that or not, Brother Joe? Better believe he did. Their palace was an honorable place, but there was only a problem with it. It was built for the praise of men. And what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do was have the praise of men and not the praise of God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God.
Amen.
I'd rather have God's adoration, praise, if you might put it that way, than I would the praise of men. God made them chief rulers among the people. And if you read in Nehemiah, Zechariah said, when they were going back to Jerusalem, one of the names that's listed as going back in that group is Daniel. Daniel.
Amen.
Went back in that group. You know that he read in the scriptures where Jeremiah said your captivity won't be but 70 years. Daniel got to counting up. Let's see how old I am. And I don't know how old he was, but I believe he counted up in the years and said, you know something? I might make it.
Yes, sir.
I just might make it. And he did make it.
Amen.
Amen.
He refused to be defiled with the king's meat in their coming day. That the city that he longed for and loved, that he got to go home.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, you stay with God, and there will come a day that you'll get to go home also. Let's stand together.